hello there. Today is the 208th day in the year of 2021, and there remains 157 days, and it's not too late to fulfill all your plans, whatever they may be. You may have neglected doing what you needed to do to fulfill your plans, but it's not too late. We talked about yesterday even being able to steer a boat on the lake, but it didn't look like there was too much water there, and I was kind of comfortable with that. I haven't really been on the seas, the great seas like the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean. I don't know how comfortable I would be if all I could see is water, you know, but on a lake or river, you can see some trees and grass and bushes. And if you're like me, then you feel more comfortable, right? Just in case I need to float or learn how to swim really fast, I won't be too far away from safety. Well, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Linda Sims. The name of my show is called The Voice of a People. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh107.1fmradio. Okay? We do stream live, and it's www.wwgh1071.com. But to let you know, you are on the right station, wwgh107.1. Okay? Now, you can also go to your Play Store and find the app TuneIn, which is free. All apps to download are free. And you can open it up free. And you can search WWGH once you download it, okay? Or you can call in while I'm live on the air by calling 740-383-9944. If you have any questions, if you would like to ask my guest questions, or if you would like to make any comments regarding the show, okay? I need to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. And these people have been in long standing with A Voice of a People. And I thank God for them, and I appreciate them and all of their support. Starting with Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515. Hold on. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Oh, hello. I'm actually listening online. I'm closer to Wilberforce or Xenia, Ohio, and I just wanted to say it's a really great station to play talk around the clock.
Wow. Thank you very much. We
yeah,
appreciate
it's not
you.
Often you really hear a local station like that. And there was a host that I heard the other day who was talking about comedy duos.
Uh-huh.
But I can't quite place who that host was. Do you know which program that might have been?
Comedy duos. I don't know if that was Scott Spears or who may have been doing that. Could have been Adam Lepp. I'm not sure. Kind of
well, I don't
like...
want to take up too much of your time, but I just wanted to say thank you for your programming there.
Thank you. Somebody's listening, right? That's a good thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Call in anytime. Wow. Somebody's Wilberforce somewhere in Ohio is listening, and they were thanking us for our programming. That's beautiful. Yes, that is beautiful. Thank you so much for your call, and we pray that you continue to listen to WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Pastor Jackie Peterson, I did get the phone number in, I think, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement.
Come in.
Free produce every third Saturday of every month, and it starts 12 noon to 2 p.m., Okay, that would be August the 17th. We also have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. And I just left Chappie. He's doing really good. He says, is it your time to come? I'm like, yeah, it is. I said, are you tired of looking at me? He said, no, not really. Just started giving you my money. But I said, what would I do without your humor? He said, oh, you'd get along really well. He said, I'm not worried about that. But he's been with me for about 5 years. And the phone number there is 740-382-8552. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-262-0939. Alrighty, I have a thought for today, and I really like to open up my show with a thought for today. It is titled, Remind Yourself. And while I'm looking that up, I have giveaways today. 2 free tickets to Columbus Zoo. And if you call between 4:30 and 5 p.m. for the Bible trivia, if you know the answer, how many books are in the Bible? How many books are in the Bible? So if you come up with that answer, call in between 4:30 and 5 p.m., okay? Remind yourself, it's a thought for today. Which I have to do all the time and write myself notes. And leave the notes at home. I'm trying to learn how to do the notepad on my cell phone. All right, here we go. Remind yourself. Some of these thoughts for today are really great. If you know a little of yourself, you will have realized that you are more than meets your eyes in the mirror in the morning. What you see is not what you are. You see the form, not the content. The body, not the soul. The matter, not the mind. In quiet and profound moments, we innately know that is true. But we forgot. The world tells us and wants us to believe that we are what we see, and we take the easy way out. We believe. That's why the awakening of spirit and the flowering of our spirituality, nothing to do with religion, means we have to keep reminding ourselves 100 times a day, I am a soul, not a body. I am an eternal spirit, not a perishable piece of meat. I am quality, not quantity. I am otherwise, freedom is not possible. I mean, otherwise, not quantity, I am. Okay, otherwise, freedom is not possible. And if we are not free in the deepest space inside our own being, we cannot be truly happy. Wow. I know that said a lot, didn't it? I turn my attention over to my guest, Johnny Jackson.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you today?
Great. I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
Like, I'm glad you made it. I thought, did I remind him?
You did. I should have read my text message better. My bad.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm just glad to see you.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
I want you to introduce yourself because I did not have time to look for your last paper and get all your titles.
Yeah.
You were so busy.
Sure. So my name is Johnny Jackson. I'm a community member. I was born here in Marion, Ohio. My people, they come from Mississippi and Georgia. In Georgia, they come from Griffin. And Mississippi, they come from Tupelo, Greenville, Leland, all over the South. And during my day job, I'm diversity and equity supervisor for Marion City Schools. But I love reading black books. That's the thing that I would really love to talk. Like, I love, you know, African-American writers. I love, like, I brought some today.
Did
I brought
you?
Some, brought
okay.
some Morrison. I brought some Ibram X. Kendi. I brought another book, the children's books. I'm really fascinated by how we do language and we do images. So that's what I'm here to talk about a little
bit. That's great.
A little bit of everything,
That is great. Absolutely. I've been listening to, once a week, he does Race, Division, and I forget the end of it. But he's gone all the way back in the Bible. Frederick Price Jr.
Okay. Don't know him. I have to look him up.
Yeah, I get him on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's been taking us all the way back. Now we're up to, because of the controversy about blacks being Jews. So he started way back there in Genesis and worked his way up.
Sure.
And out of all of his studies, he was saying not all were Jews, but at least half. They believed at least half because of the all intermingling of the races, you know. So it's profound.
Yeah,
it really is.
And you know, a lot of our ancestors actually used that metaphor of us being promised people in the promised land and being lost. If you listen to some of what Dr. Martin Luther King talks about, if you listen to James Baldwin, you listen to Malcolm X, they talk a lot about the type of promise that America has for us. Like you listen to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he talks about going to Washington during the march to get their check. Like he, you know, talking about those dreams that you have of furthering the nation. So we have that type of imagination of like, what does it mean for us to be a oppressed people in the land of milk and honey? And you know, writers have written about this for at least a century, the connection between black folks and Jewish folks. Someone like Cornel West writes about like the shared kind of struggles around what anti-Semitism does to Jewish people and what anti-black racism does to black people. And the only way out is love being the center and the anchor of all that.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so.
That's so true. Love is the answer to almost everything.
It is. It is. Yeah. I mean.
So what do you want to share with us in from your readings?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've been reading back through Toni Morrison, and she's writing James Baldwin's eulogy.
Okay.
And she actually...
Now, who's James Baldwin?
Oh, James Baldwin is like this 1960s, 1970s writer. He writes this book called The Fire Next Time.
Oh.
And it's about black people's experience in America. But he writes in the first book or the first chapter, he writes a letter to his nephew.
Okay.
And he contextualizes how America has sit not only his nephew, but him, his and his forefathers down in the ghetto. Well, if we back to what you were talking about with Jewish folks, the ghetto is where, you know, a lot of, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Toledo Jewish folks lived, and they lived alongside who? Black people, Latinos, immigrants, that type of thing.
Right.
So James Baldwin is writing so much about the black experience in America, and his writings have come back popular now since, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and a lot of our demands around reparations, demands around seeing us as human, demands around what it means to be, you know, black in America and have your civil rights. So Toni Morrison is such an important writer because not only a lot of us know her fiction, but she writes so much nonfiction.
Okay.
She writes, you know, eulogies. She's writing, like, even articulating why she's writing all her characters black in her novels.
Okay.
And I think that she's just such a important figure. And we just lost her a couple years ago.
Right.
It was just 2019 that we lost her.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that using literature as a point of being in community with people. There's this really great book. Her name is Dr. Goldie Muhammad.
Okay.
And she writes a book called Cultivating Genius. And she writes about how black people have always had literary societies. And a lot of them were based on the Bible. like based on like we're going to sit there and learn parts of the Bible and become literate.
Right.
And then that was the first step to then knowing the Constitution.
Okay.
Knowing state laws, then knowing how to enroll yourself into school or start your own schools.
Okay.
So I think it's very powerful what Black people have done around literacy, and even things around like listening to the radio and some of our inventions.
Oh yes.
Yeah, innovations. Wow. To that. Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah, the radio. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, it's big.
Yeah, it still is. It's still like the one of the number one ways that people get their news. Yeah, like that's
great, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the radio is like critical, right? I would love to just read just a little
bit. Go
ahead.
I'm intrigued. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, just this last part that I think is so key. It's the last paragraph, and it's the eulogy of James Baldwin. And she says, "You knew, didn't you? How I needed your language and the mind that formed it. How I relied on your fierce courage to tame wildernesses for me. How strengthened I was by the uncertainty that came from knowing you would hurt me. You knew, didn't you? How I loved your love. You knew. This then is no calamity, no. This is jubilee. Our crown, you said, has already been bought and paid for. All we have to do, you said, is wear it. And we, Jimmy, you crowned us."
Wow.
And it's so powerful because I feel like that about a lot of our older generation, like that metaphor around what I'm given has already been paid for.
Yes.
And already been struggled for, and I just need to walk in my excellence. I need to walk in my grace and walk in my truth. But it is a truth that is always something when I walk into a room, as they say, 10,000 people walk in with me, not
wow.
just me.
That's powerful.
So
in
that
reality.
It
yes.
is, it is. And I think many of our young people have to understand that a lot of what they're going to gain out of this world has already been bought and paid for by struggles that our elders have fought. And if we can get that peace and continuously think about it like that and walk in that truth, I think it'd be really powerful.
Yes, I'm sure it would be. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. When you think about it, and it's so far ago,
mm-hmm.
so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't remember who you referenced, but walking alongside with Jewish people and
mm-hmm.
their struggles and
mm-hmm.
them being the chosen people for
mm-hmm.
the promised land, you know, God chosen people. So the thing that got me was, why were we so hated amongst all people in the world?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like that way, you know. No matter where we go, we're hated.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we bled or our ancestors bled or
mm-hmm.
fought or kept up the good fight, you know. Like you said earlier, it's about love.
Mm-hmm.
It's about loving people as yourselves, you know, because every way we turn, sometimes the doors are closed in our face, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much education we may have
oh, yeah.
or how much money we may have made, or
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when they look at your skin, then there's like,
there's
no.
a fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a fear. Yeah. I've been reading a lot of books around how then we internalize that type of hate of us by overworking.
Yeah.
So for Black men, they call it John Henryism.
Yeah.
John Henry was that mythical figure that he was large and very strong, and he ended up beating a train. There was a train on the track that could nail down the tracks, and
mm-hmm.
then there was John Henry. And then they raced one day, and then John Henry actually beat the train.
Okay.
But he actually died after he beat the train in this race. And I think that for many Black people, we have like that John Henryism, because, you know, what our ancestors tell us, you got to be twice as good and work twice as hard for what you're going to get in the world. And unfortunately, that still rings true.
Yes, it does.
A lot of times. And then for black women particularly, they call it like a Sojourner Truth, who's they call it Sojourner Truthism. Mm-hmm. Like, she works twice as hard, is somebody who seeks freedom, gets her own freedom. But for black women, they always say you have to work twice as hard to get just one thing. And I always think about it as, look what we've given the world. We've given the world Simone Biles.
Mm-hmm.
We've given the world John Coltrane.
Right.
Toni Morrison. Maya Angelou.
Right.
Like, we've given the world so much, and our contributions in the world have been paid for by our ancestors, as, you know, Toni Morrison has said.
Mm-hmm.
The type of, like, ire and hate that comes at us, I think a lot of times is so deep because the dominant group doesn't know themselves. And if they could do more soul-searching, self-reflection, and love of self,
right,
that isn't arrogant, I think that it would be powerful, because we could build community out of that.
True.
Because that's why we're
true.
Here. We're
true.
Here for love and community at the
that's
end
true.
Of the day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Makes me think of Whitney and her experiment she's doing, you know.
Sure.
Whitney Gurman, yeah.
Yeah.
She's out there.
Yeah. Like, doing the inner work of racial justice
mm-hmm.
is critical. The type of self-understanding and self-reflection of who you are as a human being.
Wow.
And in connection with other people is really key.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would never thought of anything like that. I don't know where she got the concept from.
Sure.
But it's just powerful.
Yeah.
To listen to her just take white people through this experience.
Yeah.
You know. And then she's telling them what they're going through, what they're experiencing, because she's experienced it, you
yeah.
know, like the rapid heartbeat, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're around black people just thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, something may happen or not happen, but she's like, take a deep breath and all that. I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah, it is powerful. And, you know, as black people, when we're in spaces where we feel threatened and we have a certain type of, like, racial trauma, it's important for us to heal.
Yes, it is.
It's important for us to get your rest.
Yes.
To hydrate. Whatever your higher power is, whether you meditate, prayer, go to church, whatever it might be.
Right.
It's so critical that you take care of yourself, because rest is something that our ancestors long for but didn't always get. So those type of racialized trauma and experiences is so critical that you get self-care, yeah? And also collective care, being in community. Just the other day when I saw you at Red Lobster, I was looking. And then just like right there, that experience of being able to be in community
right.
with one another and those
recognize
type of check-ins.
Recognize one another. Yeah,
recognize,
you know, yeah.
yeah.
And speak to one
yeah.
another, you know.
Yeah.
Not having any animosity
sure.
or anything like that.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be about, you know.
It should, yeah.
Yeah, that's what life is about. Because that was one of the main things that the Lord put in the Bible. People will know you
mm-hmm.
are mine, my people,
mm-hmm.
that you accept me and follow me and believe in me, because
mm-hmm.
you will love one another as I have loved you.
As I have loved you, yeah.
How can you say you love me whom you have not seen
mm-hmm.
and hate your brother who you mm-hmm. see every day?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's saying that's impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
You know, when you say that, it makes me think of the whole project around My Brother's Keeper
mm-hmm.
that President Barack Obama started.
Right.
And thinking about, like, how can I keep my brother, keep them safe, keep them in love, keep them in community. I have a project in Marion City Schools called Harambe.
Okay.
And Harambe, this year our theme is for liberation, for love, for literacy. And I really do think that providing spaces for black boys and black young men to think about what it means to get liberation,
mm-hmm.
what it means to love one another as your brother, and what it means to, like, seek that type of literacy, whether it's music, whether it's film, whether it's books, whatever it is, giving positive images that keep us in community around liberation, love around literacy is critical.
And I think that is critical because there's so much hate between ourselves.
Sure.
Or dislike or jealousy or, you know, between ourselves. And we're all struggling to get to the same place. At least I would want to think that we are, you know.
Yeah.
But that's big, Johnny.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you were talking about earlier, one of my favorite places in the Bible is talking about all you need is the faith of a grain of a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I think that was planted in me when I was really young.
Good.
And going to Christ Missionary Baptist Church and being really critically affirmed
mm-hmm.
by a lot of families over there.
Right.
Even including my own. But I think that if I can't do anything else, if I can just encourage and affirm people, then they can actually get the energy to save themselves.
Right. I believe that.
You know, like, I decided to tell some of my young men, like, no one's coming to save you. So in this project that we create, whatever it is, it could be just taking a walk around the block. You got to figure out how do you save yourself. How do you get the tools out of school, out of your community, out of your church, whatever it is,
right,
to really think about how do you save yourself and then be in community with other people to do that.
Right.
Because it is a collective experience, but I don't ever want them to think that they got to be codependent. I want them to kind of be interdependent on their community to save them and their community, because it's critical for our young people to get that critical thinking about what are the tools, what are the resources in my community that I can get to save me and the people I come from, right?
Okay, all right.
So that's what my mission is just like if I can encourage and inspire, then I think young people can do it.
That's good. That's good. Homework.
Homework, right. Yeah.
Homework. What was that thought for today I just read? It made me think of that. What was that?
Both a soul and a body.
Remind yourself. Yeah. Remind yourself who you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah, sure. So, like, that's, I think that's the work. And then, I mean, I think there's also a push right now nationally around reparations. That conversation and putting that conversation out there and getting serious about what is it that America, what is it that Ohio, what is it that Marion, Ohio particularly, owes black folks as far as health, housing, education, economics, what is it that it owes? Because I give you an example, or two examples. My mom grew up going to segregated schools in the South. My grandmother only got a grade school education.
Right.
Out of that, it's just in 2021 that Ohio has decided that the way that we fund schools is unequal, and now we're going to fund schools equally.
Okay.
Think about that. In 1960s, that's when we started desegregating schools, and we said we were going to fund them correctly, right? Well, from 1960... my mom was born in 1958. I was born in 1985. Okay. And now it's 2021.
Right.
So the struggle, I love that word that you said earlier. The struggle still continues for us to get fair housing, fair education, fair economics. So that's the fight, is to continue the legacy of studying and struggling for things that we need.
Yes, we do need those things, you know. And we deserve those things.
Yeah.
You know, we're working. We're not, don't want to be out in the street begging anyone for anything. You know, we do have certain pride about ourselves, you know.
Isn't that the beauty, too?
Yeah.
Like I was mentioning earlier, our contributions and like Morrison, Maya Angelou, John Coltrane. Like, I love John Coltrane because my dad loves John Coltrane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when I put on Coltrane
He's
in
jazz,
the morning,
right?
Jazz.
Yes.
When I put on John Coltrane in the morning when I get to work, and that 48 minutes and 53 seconds when it starts to expire, like, I'm always thinking about, like, wow, like, this isn't just a black contribution to the world. This is like a contribution to the world that is like Jesse Owens, that is like Maya Angelou, that is like Toni Morrison. I keep coming back to her because the way that her words pay imagery of black people is so beautiful and brilliant. And one of my favorite writers, she says that we need windows, we need mirrors, and we need doors. Mm-hmm. And it just relates earlier when you were talking about when you get up in the morning in that mirror, you got to remember that you're not just a body, you are a soul.
Right.
And like being able to critically affirm yourself as a black person in this world is how you save yourself a lot
That's
of times.
That's true. That's so true. You know? That's so true. And that, like the thought for today, those yeah. are so needed. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not just for people that's listening, but it's for me first because mm-hmm. I've read it first, you mm-hmm. know, to me. And it helps to keep me motivated.
That's real.
Yeah. It is so easy to fall back,
mm-hmm.
you know, and say, oh, woe is me, you know, mm-hmm. things are not going right for me. And because God does have mercy on us. He opens up doors for us that no man can close.
Mm-hmm.
And he can That's close powerful. Doors no yeah. man can open.
That's real.
You know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, how did they do that? Why are they there? How did they get there? He.
Yeah. yeah.
in
yeah.
his mercy, you know what I'm saying, in his grace. He's the one.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's some things you can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard you try, no mm-hmm. matter what race you are, trying to hold another race down, mm-hmm. there's some things that God just opens up and there's nothing mm-hmm. you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one thing.
That's real.
Because when he puts that shield around you, they can't even hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Job, when he was a righteous and upright man, and God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He is a righteous and upright mm. man. Even God knew that, right? Mm-hmm. But Satan said, well, I can't touch him
mm-hmm.
because you have a hedge of protection around mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. See, God can do that. He mm-hmm. can put that hedge of protection around mm-hmm. us, you know. And the devil said, well, if you drop it,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll make him curse you and mm-hmm. die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so God said, well, half at it then.
Mm-hmm.
He moved the mm-hmm. Hedge of protection.
Right.
But Job, he did not curse God and die. And I mean, no. he afflicted him every way he could. Killed all, took all his money. He was one of the richest men during that era. Killed all of his children, all mm-hmm. of his livestock and cattle.
Mm-hmm.
But God rewarded him double-fold.
Mm-hmm.
Double-fold.
Mm-hmm.
So when he decides...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to protect you, Johnny.
Yeah.
You protect it.
That's real. Yeah.
You know, no matter who likes it or don't like it.
That's real.
They can't change him.
Yeah. You know, when you said that, like, again, I feel very fortunate that I have three elders in this community and the work that I do in the community work and the school work. That's one of their prayers that they give me weekly
mm-hmm.
is the head of protection.
Amen.
And I just love that piece because I think that we need to do more intergenerational kind of relationships and community building. And we don't always agree on things.
True.
But we are in community. Mm-hmm. And that's I think that's such a critical piece
it
about
is.
These
and
things.
And we all have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
Community.
And community, you know. And there's a, when you were saying that, one of the things that popped in my mind that's always rememberable is when, you know, Jesus goes to the temple and decides that people haven't been serving the folks that he says they should be serving,
mm-hmm.
haven't been serving the women, the lepers, the poor, and he starts flipping tables.
Yes.
And I think that we need to do more of that together is
true.
Who in the street do we need to serve,
mm-hmm.
and how do we kind of have that type of relationship?
Right, right.
Is that like collectively decide that we're going to mobilize that way, have
yes.
our mission, do our work,
right,
and then celebrate together, you know.
That's good.
You know, and you
That's
and
good.
I, were, you know, we were part of the Black Joy Summerfest.
Oh, yes, we were.
I think that was a really both difficult project to create together with, you know, Jess Holler and Marian Voices, but it was also a very, like, rewarding
yes, it was.
Experience
yes,
to
it was.
Watch people come and just enjoy an experience like that in the park was
our history.
Yeah, our something. History. Like that is just that's the type of world class experience that I think that more people need to embark on when they understand what black people have created.
Yes.
What we love, what we joy in, what mm-hmm. we kinda think about.
Yes.
And it's just remarkable. Our pride. Yeah, you said it perfectly earlier.
Yeah,
our pride.
We have pride in ourselves, you know, things that we do and can get accomplished, you know. Not just for ourselves, but for the world. For the world.
And we want people to embark on it with us. Like, this is what we could, you know, give every day.
Right.
And we just want to be that part. We want to give our contributions to the world.
Absolutely.
You know.
Right. And they deserve it.
Yeah. You know? I love that. Yeah.
And it's all over. What we have contributed to the world is all over the world.
Yes.
Even in the museums in Russia, they have black artifacts, you know, from way back. And I'm like, wow, how did Russia get all that stuff, you know? But they have it.
Yeah.
The black Jesus and all that. And we don't even have one of those in America. I mean, from way back,
from
you
way
know.
Back. Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere. And we are everywhere.
Sure. Yeah. When you say that, I love, like, history. I love historical figures like Paul Robeson, who has this large voice, amazing voice. He travels Russia during the 40s, and Russia gives him this large, like, ovation when he comes because he's such an internationally renowned person as an artist, as a singer, as a speaker. And his rendition of Othello was really well received all over the world.
I like that movie.
Yeah, so you're right. Like, we are like local, but we're also global.
Yes,
at the same time.
Yes, we are. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. Yeah.
How we got there? God dispersed us also.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That's real.
I like Othello, Lawrence Fishburne. Did you watch him?
Oh yeah.
He played that, didn't he?
One of our best. Yeah.
Yeah, he played that.
Yeah.
Lawrence
Fishburne.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And you're talking about iconic actors and voices. So he has such an iconic voice when it comes to the roles that he plays. But that when you just hear his voice, you're like, oh, I know who that is.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, whose voice is that? Sometimes I'll be watching a movie. Whose picture? I know that face.
Then
I have to go back in my mind and realize what, you know, movie they played in or what song they sang, you know. But I don't know. I just feel really good today.
Yeah.
I just really do. Yeah. I had been struggling. Like, I had to cancel our last appointment with my blood pressure, you know. And I was, like, dizzy, you know. And they took away my driving privileges.
Oh,
so
no.
Oh, wow. I couldn't even come, you
know. Sorry to hear that, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, well, I'm just going to cancel again. I'm thinking, I hope Johnny don't think I just canceled with
his sister. Nah, I knew something that popped up.
right, you know. That's what it was. But I'm feeling better and better every day.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes, and tomorrow is my 30th day checkup.
Hey. Well, I'm going to send all the prayers that
well,
way.
Thank you.
I hope
thank
it goes
you.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Feel good about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing is, when we don't feel good about something and our health isn't good, taking a rest is okay. And
yes,
actually,
it is.
It's great
yes.
to take a rest. Like, yes. I'm getting better at saying, like, hey, I'm at my capacity. I can't do any more.
Right.
But when I fill up to it, I feel more healthy, I might come back.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
I think that we have to, as a community, get better at saying, like, hey, I can't do it.
Right.
And, you know, like, other people understanding when folks are at their capacity.
Right.
You know? And that could be your physical health. It could be your mental health.
That's true.
It could be your spiritual health.
That's true.
Because all those things matter when it comes to, you know, who you are as a human being.
It does. You know? Even your money. All that plays a part.
Financial health.
Yes.
That's real.
Yes.
Yeah. What do we say? When your money funny?
Right.
My uncles used to say that. Yeah, my money funny. I'm like, come on. You know, you go, come on, aunt, give me $2.
Right.
I don't know, nephew. My money funny right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But like you said, sometimes we don't realize that we're at our capacity
at
and
our
really
capacity.
A little over it. You
yep.
know, we're, yep. we've taken on so much and it's time to regress and take some of those things off of us so that we can be better at what we are doing.
That's
you know,
real.
And not overload ourselves.
Yeah.
I've been there before too.
I have too. Like with my mental health, I've been trying to do better. Last year, I mentioned this a few times before. In April of 2020, I lost my grandpa.
Yeah.
And I felt that I couldn't go on because that was my rock. That's somebody that was really important to me. And this whole year, this whole 2 years, really, I've been really trying to concentrate on when I get up in the morning, like, who am I grateful for? Mm-hmm. And I kind of write him and my grandmother's name at the top of the sheet.
Okay.
God, my ancestors, people.
Right.
But I also, that's a way that throughout my day I can return to that and say, like, when I get down on myself, like, I haven't done the things I'm mm-hmm. supposed to do, not only am I grateful for the people that I put on this sheet, I also can say, like, hey, like, no matter what you do, they're proud of you.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of like a medicine and affirmation for me is, like, I struggle sometimes with my mental health.
Yeah.
And I need to reaffirm myself and kind of go back to the people who, you know, brought me into this world.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I think we all struggle with that.
Sure.
Yeah. You know. I know I do anyway. Just questioning a lot of things that I do and say, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hurt people.
That's real.
But sometimes it's necessary for me to let people know where I stand.
Yep, yep.
You know, a lot of people don't believe that. You know, as long as I'm doing me, I can go on. But I feel that is a part of doing you. It's not being mean to people or trying to get a point across.
That's
but
real.
I just don't want you to misunderstand, you know, where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it may not matter to people, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But,
you know, Ms. Sims, what you're saying, there's nothing wrong with us setting healthy boundaries.
There you go.
Like, nothing wrong.
There you go.
With yourself, with your people who are your beloved ones, whether it's like, you know, siblings or your kids or your friends. There's nothing wrong with setting a boundary like, hey, listen, like, that's something that I don't approve of. Could we kind of not talk about that, or can we kind of move in a different direction?
Right.
There, and you know, I'm learning more and more about what it means to create a healthy boundary for myself and managing my own expectations and regulation, and then also for other people.
Right.
You know.
And that's not being disrespectful.
Nah.
You know, that's being respectful.
Yeah, being respectful.
Because I would respect them if they say, well, you know, I don't want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like you're saying, let's do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's do that, you know, because I'm really not here for anything other than that, you know. It might have been yesterday, and it was talking about always got your nose in other people's business.
Yep.
I think that was yesterday. What was that called? Lovefully
interfering, okay.
You know, somebody else's business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's... because we can always see what they're doing.
Easily.
And not look at what we're doing.
And not be reflective of yourself. Yeah. Whenever I start getting into that, I'm like, hey, you need to bite your tongue a little bit. You know, like, that's me, like, my own checkup. Like, I got to check in, like, hey, like, are you being a little too harsh on people? Because you didn't always know what you know.
Like, amen.
Like that's
amen.
You didn't always know what you know about the world, about yourself, about others.
That's true.
And, you know, giving, and this word keeps coming up, giving people grace.
Yes.
The same way that you gave grace to your relationship with God or your relationship to people who you have a high respect for.
Mm-hmm.
Give that grace to people who, you know, you might be in a conflict with.
That's true.
Or even yourself. Sometimes we don't do a good job of giving grace to ourselves.
That's true.
You know? Positive self-talk is one of the places that you can give grace to yourself.
Right. My daughter tells me that all the time. Give yourself some grace, Mom.
It's real. It's real.
So, okay, I will.
Yeah, especially for, you know, like her and have your mom around for a while, having your mom's mental health really good and saying, like, hey, like, I asked my mom this the other day because we were doing a check-in. I was like, what day of the week do you feel like a 10? And she was like, oh, Wednesday. Oh, okay. Well, tomorrow is Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And what day of the week do you feel like a 1? Like, you like, blah. She said, Sunday. All right, I'm going to check in on you on Sunday,
right,
too.
Right, right.
And, like, in between there, like, between that 10 and that 1, like, what can we be doing to make sure that you feel good?
Wow.
I mean, I think it's critical for, you know, those relationships to keep. Because I know, like, when it comes to community, her mental health and my mental health, they're connected and they're interdependent.
Amen.
You know,
that's true.
So
that's
they're
true.
Critical.
We're out of time.
Hey, it's great, as usual.
Yeah, it was a good show, Johnny, yeah. Really. I know school's going to already open up, and I'm going to try to get you back after you're in there a little while, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
So thank you for listening to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. And once again, my name is Linda Sims. My guest today was Johnny Jackson. We'll have him back real soon. Okay, no one called in for the free tickets. That's okay. I'll keep offering them. Please tune in to A Voice of a People next Monday, 4:15 till 5. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump,
we welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited. This is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal convention, probably the biggest star-studded convention you've ever seen. We've got huge stars. We've got Gary Busey, LaToya Jackson, Jose Canseco, some of the really, really big names from Celebrity Apprentice, and I think it really, really is.
Now what do we have in store for your big acceptance speech Thursday night?
Well, before I get to that, I have to talk about your terrible, terrible, terrible governor, John Kasich.
Oh, no.
I think what he's doing is terrible. Did I mention it's terrible? Because I think it's terrible. He's not endorsing me, which I think is crazy. He's really not helping at all. He's not showing up. I don't know what this guy's problem is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's got like a supercut haircut. He has a terrible suit on. I could really, really help this guy out, but I have to tell you something. I am not going to help him because he's not helping me. And I'm a very nice guy, but he is not being nice to me.
Well, Donald, that was on my list of things to ask you about because
I had to get right to it because I just cannot get over that he's doing this. It makes no sense.
Well, he said, and this is his quote, he said, I'm going to get Kasich's quote right here. He says, "Why would I feel compelled to support someone whose positions I kind of fundamentally disagree with?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, but doesn't he know we're in the